The Unique Contributions podcast is brought to you by RELX. Find out more about us by visiting RELX.com.
I want to make it very short and simple, as you have heard my story earlier. I want to quote my math teacher's remark, find things you're really passionate about it and stick to it and don't give up.
Hello, and welcome to our second series of Unique Contributions, a RELX podcast where we bring you closer to some of the most interesting people from around our business. I'm YS Chi, and I'll be exploring with my guests some of the big issues that matter to society, how they're making a difference, and what brought them to where they are today. Hello, and welcome back to our listeners. Our guest today is Min Chen, Chief Technology Officer of LexisNexis Legal and Professional for Asia Pacific and Global Search. Based in Shanghai, Min runs large teams of technologists and software engineers to deliver solutions to clients in the legal industry. The legal industry is going through a profound technological transformation. I'll be asking Min what this means for lawyers and how the new generation called Gen Z is shaping the future of law. Along the way, we'll also hear about what it's like to be a woman working in the field of technology and data science. So hello, Min. Thank you for joining us, even though it's a nighttime in Shanghai and a weekend.
Hi, Wise. I'm honored to be the guest.
I would like to kick off by talking about your actual day-to-day work at LexisNexis. Over a decade ago, you joined a team with less than 10 people to support the China business. And then today, as CTO of LexisNexis Asia Pacific and Global Search, you oversee a team of about 250 technologists and software engineers spread across everywhere from Shanghai to Australia, US and India, et cetera. And the projects you work on are scattered all around the world. This reflects a profound technological transformation that is taking place in the legal industry, it sounds like. So please, tell us a little more about that.
Right. I think the legal industry has been relatively conservative to adopting new technologies in the past century because legal systems are always jurisdiction specific and the involvement of law is also relatively slow. Having said that, I do notice the rising demand of embracing and seeking analytics and automation by our customers has been pushing changes on legal industry through advanced technology, particularly on cloud-based solution and artificial intelligence. And pandemic accelerates this change a bit because it pushes new ways of gathering, sharing, and dealing with data. For example, law firms want to automate those repeatable manual tasks to keep their rates competitive so they can continue to win business. While in-house counsel wants automation, lower the amount of money they have to spend on using outside legal counsels, they will all need a better decision-making tool to help them. And descriptive or predictive analytics will play a big part of it. And LexisNexis' mission is to help our customers to improve their work efficiency. And we do have big advantage to deliver that mission because we have both data and advanced technology. That includes natural language processing, natural language understanding, generation, machine learning, deep learning, computer vision, and so on.
So Min, at some point in time, mindset began to change. Were you there to observe that change in mindset? And how did LNLP decide to jump onto that?
Yeah, I was there. So pretty much within the recent 3 to 4 years, I see those changes. And that is why the team has been growing from 10 to 200 at the same period. And, you know, legal information is mainly text-based. And that's why artificial intelligence plays a critical role to address the issues of natural language understanding and natural language generation.
And so this so-called latecomer to technology transformation is suddenly having a real fast pace, right? Is it pandemic? Is there something else?
I think it's driven by the customer problem. Pandemic definitely be part of that. As earlier mentioned, that pandemic actually generate the new ways of thinking, getting the information. But I think it's driven by the customer problems. We have a tough customer problems in legal domain. And legal information is very often complex, professional, and lengthy text-based documents. And given that specialty, we need expertise and focus particularly on natural language understanding. Earlier I mentioned about that. I'm just very obsessed with that. So natural language understanding is about machine reading comprehension, having the machine to understand context of the body of the test. And natural language generation is about computational text producing, having machine to produce the text. And deep learning, a technology that is evolving faster than ever in the world of AI, will clearly be the major solution to tackle these areas. So when I say it is driven by customer problem, I give you one example here, like auto summary in legal domain. We have this case summary, which is critical for legal researchers. So without case summary, a legal researcher may need to read through the whole case before they can be sure whether the case is applicable to their case or not. But generating summary is not free. It highly relies on human efforts. And only well-trained legal practitioners can understand the legal domain language. However, there are millions of the cases there, and getting labor efforts on such work is very challenging because it's both time and resource consuming. In order to improve the coverage of high-quality case summary to our customers, we delivered an automation solution to accelerate the case law document summary process through multiple state-of-the-art deep learning technologies. And given the length of the case law document and complexity of legal domain, and this task is even more challenging than other summarization tasks in other industries you've seen. And that's why deep learning can make a big difference.
I suppose that the domain expertise of our folks in LexisNexis Legal and Professional really allows us to work with technologists like you and your team to jump that queue quite quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, they actually love to work with us because they have the domain knowledge. And it just every domain knowledge, if you want to improve the coverage, improve the speed, they need to work with technologists to do all the automations. So basically, they have their insights. And combined with our strong advanced technology, these two things combined together can make the magic.
Now, you've talked very passionately about natural language processing and deep learning. Are there any other technological breakthroughs or changes that you have noticed that has really jumped and accelerated these transformations?
Yeah. I would come back to deep learning because deep learning is a very broad area. So It is like artificial intelligence, you have lots of things, but the traditional way to tackle the problem is the traditional machine learning. And there's a limitation there. But deep learning actually is a big jump to resolve the natural language understanding and natural language generation issue. In the recent developments, we launched a new product called Asia Legal Analytics. So that product is using the deep learning to do the knowledge extraction. So the traditional way we use the natural language processing and traditional machine learning, we can do entity extraction, like you can extract lawyer's name, law firm's name, and court names, and judge's name. So that's the traditional entity extraction. Now we have a big jump we call the knowledge extraction. So basically you have this case, we're able to extract a legal issue. What is the legal issue for this case? What is the legal argument for this case? What is the legal principle for this case? So that we call it knowledge and insight extraction. If you only use the traditional machine learning, you're not able to getting the insight extraction, but getting by having deep learning technologies really help us to make the difference. So that's why in the recent, we just launched that in February in Malaysia market. We're going to launch that in April for Hong Kong market. Our initial launch, customer already feel amazed because in the past they see LexisNexis, we have Lex Machina, we have Ravel, the context, and in the US market, they already have this kind of analytics. But now we have this analytics focus on insight extraction. So customer feel amazed. It's really very successful in Asian market.
I'm equally intrigued. I have a dumb question. Does this work on all languages or does it only work on certain global, widely spoken language that are single byte?
Yeah, I think the overall technology is suitable for all languages, but there's a different approach, techniques we have to take. Well, it's because when we deal with different language, it's basically about token. How do you extract the token? And the double byte language is not like English. The sentence is separated by meaningful tokens. So the way you extract the token in a sentence is different. You just have to get through that part. And the rest of the techniques can be leveraged across different language.
Is this very expensive to do, Min?
It really depends on the problem you're talking about. So I can.
It just sounds so fancy. It sounds so complex. And therefore, you have to think it's expensive. But obviously, you do it in a very efficient way.
Yeah. Well, once you build a foundation there, because we already have millions and billions of data there, right? We have LexisNexis have the data. So we already built a foundation. Maybe when you build things from the scratch, it takes time. It takes multiple experiments to get there. But once you set up, build up the foundation, you already have that algorithm there. It will be easier to leverage to other regions. It might be to build up your first concept, it might be not that very cheap. But if you want to expand a similar idea to other regions, it becomes cheaper and cheaper.
And that is really one of our unique advantage and unique contributions because we have both the content and now the technology. Well, as unique as that is, I find you to be a very unique person, Min. Since we have met several years ago, I've been fascinated about your growth, and I'd like to turn to that for now for a few minutes. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about how you're handling this, unexpected and very prolonged pandemic.
Well, I want to show off a little bit why as we have been completely back to office for a year now. And I'm not a big fan of working from home, even before pandemic. So I do acknowledge we have advanced tool technologies to have people meet virtually. For example, a few weeks ago, I was demoed by the team for an AR/VR app to allow engineers to do pair programming and code review remotely. By the way, pair programming is two engineers work together on the same piece of code, and code review is a group of engineers gather together to review same piece of code. So you can imagine these kind of activities require a heavy in-person experience. Now, there are different types of tools which can support engineers to do the same work virtually. But I think the dynamic and the inspiration of being able to have face-to-face conversation cannot be completely replicated. There are just a few exquisite nuances that you might not be able to tell them explicitly, but you just know the difference. And it's that difference can make a difference to be creative, to drive innovation in a more efficient and productive way. So once the situation became better in Shanghai, it was only like 3 to 4 weeks. There was lockdown, so we were all working from home. But when the restrictions started to ease, I brought the entire team back to office, and everyone was super excited to meet everyone in 3D again. Having said that, it seems only China team get 100% back to office, and the rest of the world still majorly work from home, including our customers that we're serving in Asia, Pacific, and globally. So to me, the ways of interaction is changed. I think I grow my remote research skills to the new height. During the pandemic, I got more chances to talk with customers remotely, and that really helps me to learn a few innovative techniques to capture the precise feedback from customers for product validation or discovery through phone calls. And that, I think, is I consider as most valuable new skills I developed during this special period.
Always looking at the positive side, man. So, you know, some years ago, it would not have been at all conceivable that I would be doing this kind of conversation with a women technologist. It's been a little over 15 years since you joined LexisNexis, and then you've spent a little more time in the broader tech world before that. You even studied computer science at Shanghai University, right?
Right.
And you were, what, one of the very few girls in that area. There must have been a lot of competitive and demanding environment that you had to cope with at the time. Would you like to kind of share some stories about that?
Yeah, I can try. I think at different stage of my life, I am lucky to always have the unique driver that strengthened my faith to stick to technology industry. And back to high school, when each student was at the moment to decide what is the future of major subject in college, my parents want me to follow each of their paths. And my mother is a professor of Chinese literature, and my father is the professor of biology. And I didn't know what I want to be. It was my math teacher encouraged me to pick computer science. And he said, I think that will be a perfect fit for you. Honestly, at that time, I didn't know what computer science meant to me until I followed his instruction and went to Shanghai University to major in computer science. And very soon, I found myself obsessed with programming. I could spend hours and hours in the library to write a code just for a better version to beat myself. So it was not the homework that I have to finish. It's just, I really like the feeling that I can just write a few lines of code to resolve issue automatically. And I feel that's amazing. And I remember my scores were always at top three in the class. But there was one thing bothered me. Regardless of my high scores, my professor never picked me to join external science program with top schools in Shanghai. At that time, we had quite a few learning and competition programs with leading universities like Fudan University, Jiao Tong University, and usually top students in the class got picked. Those were great opportunity to learn from other top students of different schools. So I felt a bit upset that I was not elected. So I called my high school math teacher. I always kept contact with him. I asked him, I said, you told me computer science would be a perfect for me. And look, I don't even get the chance to join these programs. Do you still think I'm suitable to learn this subject? And he responded with two things, which I never forget. He first asked me, do you love computer science? And I replied, yes, I love it. So I talked to him all the stories that I spent a long time to study and to learn, all out of my own interests. And then he said, don't worry about now. Now you don't get chances to join all these programs in school, but I have faith you will get a lot of chances when you get a job, when you start a career, as long as you love what you're doing and you don't give up. So that really motivated me. I recall in my class, there were 50 students, only 8 were female, and out of 8 girl students, I was the only one pursue a career in technology industry after graduation.
Oh, no.
I was the only one. So my first job was a programmer in China Daily. And then 3 years later, I joined Lenovo, being a tech lead for another 3 years, and then LexisNexis. So 10th of October of this year will be my 16 years working anniversary. Well, a lot of people ask me why you stay in this company for that long. Obviously, there are multiple reasons. In LexisNexis, there are enough great challenges for me to tackle by using advanced technology. You heard the story, deep learning, machine learning. And my teams, the colleagues, and they're all great. I'm growing together with them. But I think there's one critical reason I never ignore is in this company, I come across a few my math teacher type of people. And they share very similar value and vision, which is doing things you love and don't give up before you give up. So that keeps me motivated in the long run.
Well, can I ask what the name of your math teacher was? Because I'm inspired by his character.
His name is Xu Qianxiang. He is just like me, a normal person. I don't know a lot about his personal life, but he is like very disciplined, very organized, and very fair gentleman. So in the class, he always encouraged me to talk a lot. So he asked a question, and some student raised a hand. I'm not the student raised a hand. He will always call out my name, and then I can always answer the question. So once I did ask him, why you always call out my name, he replied, he was smiling, he replied, he said, because I know the answer, you just need to stand up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so unfortunately, he passed away 20 years ago. But the legacy he leaves to me will forever remain.
Wow, we should all be lucky enough to have teachers like that throughout our lives.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you've done very well for yourself, for your teams, and of course, for our company since joining. And we're very appreciative of your work and passions. And you were named in 2019 as our Distinguished Technologist, a company-wide award that only one person wins every year for exemplary leadership and fundamentally challenging and changing the way we do business. So, what is more important than that is that you were the first woman to receive that award. What did that mean that when you found out that you were the first woman to win that prestigious award?
I'll tell the story. So when I initially learned this news from my manager, Jeff Real, who is the global CTO of LexisNexis, of course, initially it was like a surprise. It was announced by Eric Engström and Kong Sao. They organized a surprise call and they announced to me. But it was a very short call. And then when we get off the call, I talked with Jeff. He also highlighted, he said, you're the first woman who won this award. But my instinct reaction was, is that the reason I got selected? Well, to me, it's just like two sides of the coin. I don't want to be overlooked for opportunity because I am a woman. But on the other hand, I also don't want to be recognized because I am a woman. Of course, Jeff said it has nothing to do with your gender identity. I was recognized because of my contribution and delivery to our company that I have been building up the culture of customer-driven innovation amongst the engineering team and developing high-quality products that differentiate us in Asia-Pacific market and being part of the solutions to improve customers' NPS, the Net Promoter Score. So I consider this award as a recognition of me being able to make an impact on our customers and business. And I will strive to extend that impact to much broader customers. So it's not just within Asia Pacific, but also globally. And I think I'm moving toward that goal closer and closer every day.
You sure are. I remember sending you a congratulatory note after the award.
I remember that. Thank you so much for the encouragement, Wise.
Well, look, you are encouraging a lot of girls through your own, you know, journey. I'm curious to know, what do you think RELX can do more to improve the pipeline of women coming through to all fields, including STEM, where they seem to be not yet in abundance? What advice would you give female technologists who look up to recognize leaders like you?
Yeah, I think I have already seen lots of forums and panels organized within RELX to motivate and promote women. And for example, in general, I joined the panel session of RELX Thrive Global Launch in Asia Pacific. And Thrive is a grassroots organization to bring all female together and provide a portal for them to share thoughts and stories. And now And I know there are many other communities like this within RELAX. I think RELAX can do more on gender balance because that could push a real force for driving innovation. To me, gender balance doesn't necessarily mean we have to favor a particular gender. It means we have to consciously check whether we have enough difference in the team. When we have different ways of thinking, personality, and culture, it can stimulate innovation. And that's why it's important. I think we're also changing the way we make hiring and promotion decisions and to ensure that eligible women are given serious consideration. And last but not least, I do want to highlight, let's not forget how critical it is that our male leaders support all these initiatives. To me, technology industry is still male-dominant area, and that situation I don't foresee will be changed drastically overnight. So our male leaders who are very supportive on consciously improving gender balance in the organization can make a big difference. For example, I know YS, you are a great sponsor and advocate on driving diversity and inclusion. In my organization, LexisNexis, Mike Walsh, our CEO, and Jeff Rill, the global CTO, and Jamie Buckley, global CPO, they're all strong supporters. I often think how great D&I we have in our organization is majorly depending on how open and how far our male leaders embracing these ideas and really taking to actions. Finally, in terms of what advice I could give to other female technologists, I want to make it very short and simple, as you have heard my story earlier, because I want to quote my math teacher's remark, find things you're really passionate about it and stick to it and don't give up.
Yeah, I think that is clearly the theme. I think that the mention of allies, male allies, was a key topic when we discussed during the International Women's Day panel that, you know, we do seek women to do the work, but men ally, I think, have the responsibility to provide the air cover so that they can fight on the ground as effectively as they can.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let's jump back to the business world that we left earlier in our conversation. And LexisNexis has a number of tech hubs. One is in North Carolina, one in London, and here you are in one in Shanghai. How do you keep such a big team of data scientists, engineers, and product managers spread all over different locations, yet you're working so well, so motivated, especially throughout pandemic? What are the secret sauce?
Yeah, well, pandemic for me was very short. Earlier I mentioned only work from home for only 3 to 4 weeks, and then we were back. I think a talk from a general perspective, there are a lot of initiatives we have been doing to keep the team motivated. For example, we do hackathon once or twice a year to bring engineers and product managers together in order to incubate creative ideas and solutions through nonstop programming for 24 to 48 hours. And eventually each region's winner will join a fun competition we call the Global Shark Tank to present their work to our global CEO, Mike Walsh, and his MCM. So Mike and his senior leaders will pick winner of the winners. And my team always win. We have won top prize globally 3 years in a row. Besides, I want to mention another initiative that I ran for a few years in Asia Pacific to allow people work on innovation on a regular basis. We call it Grab the Post. So the idea is we put problem statement in one page and post it at the door of my office. And these problems are very preliminary ideas from either internal or external customers, which are not yet put into official business case or product development roadmap. And therefore, they're treated as side projects. And whoever has interest to take the challenge during their free time can just grab the post and commit to the POC, proof of concept delivery.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why we call it grab the post. And since this is not mandatory and it's a side job, you can imagine in the end, whoever grabbed the pulse is truly passionate in building great customer experience through leading edge technology. And we do acknowledge the situation that some of the polls are never being grabbed by anyone. But averagely, I did the math, every 3 to 5 months, we will get one or two challenges registered by the team with proof of concept delivered. And we gave the incentive to the team who grabbed the post. So if you delivered a POC and that idea got invested by our business partner, you will be the person to lead final delivery onto production. You have no idea being able to bring the idea solution live to customer means to engineers, because it's a great motivation for engineers.
Oh, yes. That's like being selected in the starting lineup. Well, time is flying, so I'm going to ask one last question before we close. You know, you have been very good at sticking to what you're passionate about, obviously because you probably saw things down the road. So what do you see down the road in terms of trends for tech that you expect to see over the medium term? And how are you going to make sure that your team does ride on that journey?
That's a good question. I think our focus and investment priority are always on those specific technologies that could address customer pain points. So from mapping customer problem to technology perspective, I want to summarize two major trends, two major areas. One is customers' expectation on quality of service we deliver to them will continue to increase. So that requires more efforts on data science work. The other observation is customers would expect technology to create more personalized and tailor-made service to meet their specific individual needs. So those technology that could move sophistication of personalization into the next level will be hot. And of course, you have to make sure personal data privacy is not violated. So I would have getting understanding, a deeper understanding with customer problem as the guideline, as the major driver for us to prioritize our technology strategy and focus. And basically, we stay close with a lot of communities and channels, both internally and externally, that we could constantly share the most current advanced technologies of different kinds. For example, we always keep a close eye on global external top conference and top papers out of those conference, particularly in AI industry, of course, in other technology industry as well. And that helps the team to stay current. So it's not just me. I force people to learn this and that. You have to have build a culture there. That culture should be everyone is eager to learn. But that culture is always driven. So in terms of what we want to learn, that should be always driven by what customer problem we want to resolve. So with that, because there's so many technologies, it's very broad, right? There's so many different layer, different level of the things you have to learn. You cannot learn all of them. So we use the customer problem as the guideline for us to decide which area we want to do the deep dive.
Well, you had a program called Getting Outside the Building and getting your tech people to listen to customer, right? Firsthand?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, you know, I cannot close without asking a follow-up question, because, you know, tailor-made solution is obviously something that we all want to do, but tailor-made has always been associated with high cost, high price. So this technology adoption is meant to try to make it tailor-made without high cost. Is that right?
Yeah. Put it this way, I would love to rephrase that into in a cost-effective way. But that's actually, it's the same thing. You're right, it's the same thing. We want to do the tailor-made solution in an efficient way, in a cost-efficient, effective approach.
Yeah, I think that we can do what someone has coined mass customization, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm fascinated, and I could stay on for 3 hours talking to you, Min. It's always been fun to talk with you. Every time I meet you, you are 5 steps ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Min.
It's also honored, and I also feel pleasure talking with you, Wise.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories and insights with us today. I think Min has shared with us not only about the technology of natural language processing or deep learning, but really just about her subtle leadership that is not about just being a pioneer and bringing the entire team along and making this unique contribution to the legal community. Thank you again. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app to get the new episodes as soon as they're released. Once again, thanks for listening, and please stay well and healthy.